Thank you, Gloria, Hannah, Jean. Daniel's kind of vanished. Where's Daniel gone? Okay, and Delvin. Thank you for leading us in worship. All right. Once again, for those who are new, we welcome you to the house of God. And my name is Randall, as Grace has said. So, I serve as one of the pastors here. So as we continue this time now, let's come around the Word. Let's come around the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, once again, I just want to thank you that you are God. You are truly, truly worthy of it all, Lord. And as we come around your word this day, this morning, Lord, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you may teach us to know wisdom and instruction, that you may help us understand your words of insight, that you may cause us, our hearts to be soft, our ears to be open, that we may receive instruction in how to live in these days. Father, you are God, and in you there is wisdom and wisdom alone. But also we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is wisdom personified. So may you take us in, and may you help us understand on this day your word in Jesus' name. Precious, precious name. Amen. I don't know how many of you remember when we started our series on Proverbs. Silence reigns. Yes, it did seem a long, long time ago in a far, far away galaxy called Earth. It was actually 9 weeks ago. It was 9 weeks ago. And we are going to draw Proverbs to an end. And Grace says we are moving into a different time where we feel the Lord's going to speak to us about missions and discipleship. But this was put up because it's a reminder of when we started it. Back in 9 weeks ago, from Proverbs 1, that the point of Proverbs was to teach us how to live practically. And it's been the prayer of our team, of the pastors, of the pastoral team, to that all of us, not just you, but us, that we would learn to walk. And as Solomon wrote himself, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction, to give prudence. ESV calls it to give prudence to the simple, okay? The other translation is the naive. Those of us who don't understand, those of us who are learning, and that includes people like me and people perhaps a bit longer in the tooth. And to give knowledge and discretion to the youth. So it covers all age groups. All right. And the plea of Solomon was that to let those of us who are wise hear and increase in learning and then to obtain guidance, to understand. And that's been our prayer. And so for today, we come to the end of our journey through Proverbs. And what I've called it today is careless talk costs lives. Careless talk costs lives. Now, you may go, I don't talk carelessly. I'm very careful with my words. So why are you talking about careless talk? Why does it cost lives? There was a time in the world, those of you who are interested in warfare, or perhaps a bit longer in the tooth like me, would remember World War II. All right, that's a long time ago. I remember my son, he used to play war games. He loved war games, and he had the 1-in-32 scale soldiers and little models. And then he got graduated from that onto computer games on warfare. But warfare is dangerous. It is sad. But during the war in England, in the United Kingdom, they had a slogan that says, "Callous talk costs lives." These are two examples of those posters that were used in those days. Zip it and be on your guard. Because they realized in the English government at that time that if you talked, you weren't careful with your words, that it could undermine the government, it could undermine the security and the movement of troops around the place due to spies. So careless talk costs lives was a serious reminder and advice. Now, there are times too for us when we become careless in what we say, in our use of our lips, our tongues, and our ears. And there was a time in the nation of Israel where they, over a period of time of some 200 years, had begun to drift. They had forgotten what the commandments of the Lord were. They had forgotten the Lord their God because time was good. They were prosperous. There was a time of peace. And there was a king then. His name was Hezekiah. And under Hezekiah, he had wise men. But they discerned that there had been a drift in the people's hearts away from God. And when you drift, it is very gradual. It's like erosion. You don't notice it. You don't notice it until it comes very, very apparent. And Hezekiah's wise men collected together the sayings of Solomon. And they collected it together because they wanted to remind God's people that careless talk costs lives. And so we're going to look into that a bit today from Proverbs. But before that, God, you see, never lets us alone when he notices that we are starting to drift, when we are starting to move away. And so he raised the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah said something to the people at that time. He came and he said, "Be careful. Woe are you who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, who put light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." What does that mean? That means basically they were saying, this thing which is evil is actually good, and this good thing is actually evil. What is dark, it's okay, it's light. What is light is now dark. What is bitter, it's sweet. They had started to twist words. They were being careless or deliberate in some cases in what they are seeing. And in many ways, this is what we find ourselves in our culture today, where we're being told that what is evil is actually good. And what is good, it's not right. Israel was confronted because they had drifted from the Lord. They had forgotten that careless talk costs lives. In Proverbs 26, 27, 28, 29, that's where Hezekiah's wise men had gathered some other sayings of Solomon. We don't have time to go through all of it today, but Proverbs 26, and what I will encourage you, I know small groups are taking their breaks, some small groups are continuing, but if to have your discussions, maybe have them in smaller groups than your small groups, in twos, threes. But look at Proverbs 26 and 27. Look at it and see what the content of what Solomon was trying to say. Careless talk, the sin of gossip, of lying, of boasting, of speaking reckless words. But as always, God doesn't go, this is what is wrong. He then tells you what to do about it. And in Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6, and we will come to that today, he provides a solution. He provides an answer. So careless talk costs lives. So let's begin our journey through Proverbs. As always, the reminder and encouragement is to have your Bibles or to make a notes of them and that you can go and look at them again. In Proverbs 6, we will start to read from verses 12 to 14 first and then from 16 onwards. We are told about a certain man. We are told he's a wicked man. He has crooked speech. In other words, he's got devious speech. But not only that, so he's not only verbal in what he says, he has non-verbal signals. He winks with his eye. Now, I hope none of you has a twitch in your eye at the moment. I don't know how to wink very well, but okay. Wink with your eye. He signals with his feet. He points with his finger. And we are told that with his heart, which is perverted, he devises evil and he then begins to continually sow discord. This man is called a wicked man, a worthless person. And then in Proverbs 16, when you continue to read, the Lord mentions seven things that are an abomination to him. We've dealt with this word recently, abomination. It's really terrible to the Lord. Abomination is bad. The seven abominations that are mentioned, snobbery. Are you a snob? Do you tell lies? Do you murder? Do you conspire? Do you cause mischief? Do you perjury? All right, in other words, do you tell lies, especially as a witness to somebody? And do you gossip? Five of these are clearly associated with our tongue, with our mouth. And for me personally, I think all seven of them in some way or other involve the use of the tongue. Seven abominations. What Solomon writes it as is there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, and that's that same thing again as earlier in chapter 6. Feet that run towards evil, false witness that breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. One who sows discord among brothers. What is in the heart, what is in your heart, what is in my heart will come out through the mouth. And why it is so important is because our words matter. Our words have a moral standing before God, whether you believe it or not. As Proverbs 20 talks about it, they are like precious pearls. They should be like precious pearls. In Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19, we are told about another man. We are told about this man. He says he deceives his neighbor. And he's described to be like a madman who throws firebrands, in other words, you know, sticks with fire and you go, who throws arrows and death. Because no one in their right frame of mind would want to do that. Well, I hope none of you want to do it. But he's a man who deceives his nature, and deception involves lies. But what is more is that this man then says, it's okay. I was only joking. Now, how many of you have ever done that to somebody else? You've gone up to somebody and you've gone, really, Daniel? I think you're blah, 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 blah. Don't worry. I was only joking, man. We laugh. We all can laugh about that. But this is a man who's described to be like a madman, all right? Be careful. Be careful with your words. Proverbs 12:22 then talks of this. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Wouldn't you like to be the Lord's delight? Someone that the Lord takes delight in? That's the encouragement to us. Act faithfully. Don't lie. Because he does consider lying an abomination. And by the way, there is no such thing as white lies, okay? White lies, yellow lies, black lies. Lies are lies, a lie is a lie. All right? Lying and deception is repulsive to God. It's not funny. It's not a joke. It bothers God. And that's why it is considered an abomination. Proverbs 17, verse 4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. What does this mean? Let me put it to you. We all love gossip. Silence reigns. Nobody loves gossip in this place. Okay, good. I think I can end. Nowadays, I'm not sure how well they sell, but some years ago, what I call gossip magazines, New Day, and a couple of other sort of names which I forget, used to sell very well, certainly in Australia and in other places. You know, what's happening with Harry and Meghan, William and Kate, what's happening to George Clooney, who's he? You know, and some of you may be going, literally, who's he? What's happening to the latest person? What's happening to the latest politician? What's happening to that? And they had glossy pictures. They were all gossip when you think about it. Because it's speculation. There are hints, and people love to read about them. Gossip is one thing. To be a gossiper is one thing. What I want to put to you is what it says here is that if you are the listener, if you are the participant, you are just as much a part of the problem. You and I, if we just listen to those things, are part of the problem. We are not part of the solution. In World War II in Germany, good Germans, at the rise of the Nazi movement, some of them kept very quiet. And then some of them later said in testimonies and in records that they wished that they hadn't. Because when Hitler became so powerful, they too were swept up in what happened. An evil doer listens to wicked lips. If you just listen, the Bible calls you an evil doer. A liar gives ear, you listen to a mischievous tongue. It is serious. Listening to lies, tolerating the evil I put to you, is as equivalent as sharing in the evil. You encourage those people who love to gossip, who love to tell lies by being a silent participant. And sometimes, my friends, you have to stand and draw the line and say, no, that is a lie. Listening silently by itself, I put it to you, is just as bad as lying. Be careful what you listen to. If anything, over the last 3-4 years, it's shown us the capacity of the human heart to listen to all kinds of things, especially during the pandemic. Be careful what you listen to. Don't become a collector of garbage. How many of you like to collect garbage? Nobody. No good. How many of you like to hoard? You know, you're wonderful people. Don't become collectors of garbage. Proverbs 18:8 says this other thing. The words of a whisperer or a slanderer or a gossip, that word is translated in different ways, are like delicious morsels. It's like finger food, the very best finger food that you could ever get. How many of you like to eat finger food that's really nice? Okay, one hand. Thank you, two hands. Thank you, Micah. Delicious morsels. We look at them and they go, I'm going to try one. And you try one and you go, ooh, yum. And then you try another one and you go, yum, and you can't stop. You know, even some of those little finger snacks, they're just like that. You start one, some of those chips and crisps, and you start one, and you can never stop at one. And then you suddenly find the bag's empty. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. So when you listen to things, when you listen to gossip, when you listen to lies, they're delicious. They tantalize you. They tickle you. They tickle the imagination. And then it says, they go down into the inner parts of your body. It sinks in. Do you love gossip? Do you love controversy? Do you love negative information? Be warned that God is not mocked, because those delicious morsels will go down into your stomach and then you'll go, oh, that's really nice. Thank you. Thank you for a delicious meal. I now have all those words in me. And you know what happens when you digest your food, don't you? The food gets absorbed in your gut. It moves up through your veins and your venous system. And then it gets to your heart. And I put to you that these delicious morsels that go down deep into your body will eventually get to your heart, and your heart will change. Because those words, and there's no other way to describe it, they will be like a contagion. Contagion like COVID, like HIV, like some of these other deadly viruses that we have had, the bacteria, the fungi. It's like a contagion. It goes in and it will kill you eventually. Proverbs 16:28 says this. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer or a slanderer or a gossip separates close friends. So not only is there an issue that it kills you eventually, but it causes discord and splits families and splits communities. And I put it to you, that's almost equivalent to murder. That gossips are accessories to murder. Eve's sin back in the Garden of Eden began because she chose to listen and to indulge in what Satan said to her. She chose to listen to words that she should have ignored. Because it was clear from the beginning what she had to do. We choose to listen to intemperate words, to careless words, at our own risk. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says this: whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler or a simple gossip. This is very strong. Do not associate with a gossip. Do not associate with somebody who babbles. And now that's doesn't know any control over their tongue, I guess, who just talks and talks. Somebody says, I babble. But do not associate with those people, because our words, the reason why it's so strong is because our words have emotional power. The tongue has the power, whether you believe it or not, to kill or to bring life. Our words have emotional power. Proverbs 12, verse 18 tells us, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. A sword. The picture that is given here is you take a sword and you're sticking it into the person who listens to you all the time. You're trusting the sword into that person. It is out of this proverb, interestingly, that we get the phrase cutting remark. How many of you have heard of that phrase or used that phrase, a cutting remark? You know, that was one of the things that was addressed to me back in boarding school. Somebody said, I love to cut people with my remarks, and it brought me up short because it caused me to think of how I use my words. And that's how the Living Bible actually translates this. Some people like to make cutting remarks. Remarks that are designed to hurt and to rub it in. Because you take the thing and you like cut, cut, cut. You know, slice and dice. How many of you heard that phrase? To slice and dice. To chop, slice, dice. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's the plus side. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Don't be the person who speaks rashly. Rash, to speak rashly means to speak without thinking, to speak without filtering what you're saying. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life, believe it or not, you have the power to bring life or death. And I pray that we will choose life, to bring life, not death. You see, and I think if you're honest, for most of us who have been at the receiving end of cutting remarks, that it is never easy. It is never easy. It hurts. It hurts. But not only is it not easy to receive those words, but it's not easy to forget them. And for those of us who use those words, that's the challenge for us to think. That when we use rash, reckless, unthinking, unfiltered words, when we say we are only joking at the end of it all, we forget that there is someone out there who is hurt, who may be really upset. And God wants to bring healing. Father wants us as believers, as Christians, to bring healing, not to cause hurt. For life is in the power of the tongue, for the tongue of the wise brings healing. Would we not rather bring soothing and healing than to see somebody hurt? Or do you care about winning your argument or making your point to the other person? You see, why I was accused or said to be making cutting remarks, because I used to love to debate. And when those of you who debate will know that it's all in the words. It's in the words. It's how you use the words. Do you care about winning an argument or making a point? Or do you care about soothing an injury and restoring your brother or your sister? Wise words do and can bring about healing. Now, we've talked about healing when Pastor Pacer was here. There is physical healing, but there's also what I would call, and some people call, inner healing. And inner healing sometimes is required because people have been hurt by words. And three words that we can use that are extremely useful in bringing about healing are, I am sorry. Husbands and wives, you will know this, that it's very hard to pray together if you have upset your wife or you upset your husband. And sometimes being able to say that is not easy. I am sorry. We need to learn how to bring life. Proverbs 12:25 says this, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. In this time, in this years, in these months, you know, in all that's going on in Australia, in Melbourne, many of us are anxious and we are weighed down. But a good word makes glad. A good word makes glad. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Would you not want to bring water, fresh water, springs of relief? Bring a good word. Learn to be wise. Learn to bring a good word. Learn to speak righteously with filtered words. We can, we should speak, and I put it to you, we must learn to speak good words into one another's heart. In 1 Samuel 23, verse 16, we learn of this story. We read of this story of a man called Jonathan who brought encouragement to his friend who was despondent, who was going through a really bad patch. He was feeling so down. And Jonathan came alongside him and encouraged him to stand again, to get going, to rise up. That man's name was David. We need to learn to speak good words into one another's hearts. For our words, my friends, when we use them as Christ has always intended us to do, will give grace to those who hear. Bring grace, bring life, bring encouragement to those who hear. I'm not going to spend time on this one, just to pass and mention it. Proverbs 10:23 says, "The lips of the righteous feed many." You see, it's not just for yourself that you speak, but to bring life to others. And you know, when you speak righteously, when you speak words of truth, good words, you actually end up feeding your listeners. You encourage them, you feed them. And that word feed actually is associated with shepherding. It's the shepherd, the picture that's given is the shepherd brings and says, feed, eat. We are encouraged to do this as God's community. But we do have to recognize also that our words have limited, practical limitations. Words cannot substitute for deeds. You can't just talk about it. You see, we have a church administrator. How many of you know who our church administrator is? He's sitting very quietly in the corner there, looking very sage-like. We have a brother, Chin. Now, he's over there. If you've never known who our administrator is, and when you're wondering, when you write on email to the administrator at clickchurch.com, you're wondering who's behind it, that's our brother there, Chin. And the next person behind him will also respond, perhaps sometimes, our brother Raj. But, if Chin just talked, nothing would happen in this church. But Chin actually does things. Words and deeds. Words and deeds. Proverbs 14:23 says this, "Mere talk tends or leads only to poverty. But in labor there is profit." Second limitation, words cannot change reality. You see, our excuses do not impress God. In Proverbs 24, verse 12, is this really interesting passage. It says, "If you say, 'Behold, we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his works?" So what does that mean? It means when you say to God, "I didn't know that was going on. I didn't know that that was a lie. I didn't know they were doing such a thing." God goes, "Okay, but he's the one who knows your heart. He weighs our heart. He knows. He keeps watch over your soul. He knows. And he will repay you one day according to your works and your deeds." So your excuses, in a sense, will not carry weight. Faith? Okay. Thank you. Your words. Sorry about this. So there's no excuse, right? The third thing is this. Our words cannot protect us in the end. But what they will do is they will expose you for who you really are. Doesn't mean you zip up, all right, and don't talk at all. Proverbs 13:3 says this, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips come to ruin. The picture that's given here is somebody opens your mouth so wide that you are unrestrained in what you say. You will come to ruin. For I tell you, Jesus said, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. That's serious. To plagiarize Barry, Robin, and Morris Gibb, we cannot say it's only words, and words are all I have. Some of you may remember that song from your youth. It's words, but words mean things in the end. Our words matter. Careless talk does cost lives. But as I said, there is a solution. There is a solution. There is an answer. In Proverbs 27, 5 and 6, the sage Solomon says this, for better is open rebuke than hidden love. For faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. What is he saying? What is he saying? I put it to you, he's saying two things. First thing is this, loving words are better than silence. Which is better than foolish chatter? Okay? Loving words are even better than silence, which is better than foolish chatter. Better is open rebuke, right? That's what he's saying. You see, sometimes for some of us who like to talk, silence becomes very hard. But sometimes there are situations when it's all is needed is for you to be there as a brother or as a sister. For that's all sometimes that person who is hurting requires. It doesn't need you to be Job's friends. All you need to do is be there. But sometimes, better than silence is to use wise words and living words as an encouragement. Secondly, is speaking the word in truth, as then in love, even if it hurts, is preferable to flattery with kisses. Now, some of us, I know, like flattery. Who doesn't? Well, I must admit, you know, it's nice to be told, hey, that's a nice jacket. You speak well. You look good today. I love your hairstyle. I think that's a magnificent backpack, Nigel. He's not responding. He obviously doesn't think it's a nice backpack. We love that. And for some of us, we love the flattery when it comes with kisses. Okay? But what Solomon is saying, be careful. When somebody flatters you all the time, and even puts kisses into it, just be careful. Just be careful. We need to learn to speak the word in truth. But we need to learn how to speak it in truth and in love. We need to be careful with our words. Proverbs 28:23 says this, "Whoever rebukes a man will afterwards find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue." Now that's challenging. Because we all know that in this world today, under the culture of this world, flattery plays an awful part, a lot of part, and a good weight in trying to get you to move within your organization or your job. But rather, for all of us, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. This is the challenge for all of us, that words, they may be words, but you know we can't praise the Lord without words. It's hard. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And we have said this over this journey through Proverbs. Jesus Christ is wisdom personified. The wisdom here contained within the book of Proverbs is wonderful. It is magnificent. It is God-given through a man, Solomon. But ultimately, wisdom personified is found in Christ and Christ alone. Only one, Christ. And we need to grow up. The Lord wants us to grow up in every way, not just in some ways, into Him who is the head, into Christ. We must, we can, we should walk the path of wisdom together. We have been placed in this community, this body, this local expression of Christ. We need to walk the path of wisdom together. We need to learn to use our lips and our tongues and our ears to glorify our Lord. Because if we don't, if we indulge in gossip, if we indulge in the wrong use of our tongue and our lips, our careless talk will cause lives. Will cost lives. We will lose people. We will hurt people. And that's not what the family of God is about. It is not. For finally, God's words are our life and our future. Everything else is going to fade away. Everything else will fade away. It will not last. Your riches won't last. Your achievements won't last. Then we close with what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 1. You have been born again, my friends, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Question to you today and to me, do you know the living Word of God? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Is He abiding in you? I attended a series of meetings this last Friday night and yesterday. And there was a speaker, he said this thing. It was somebody I was talking to, actually. He was a Lebanese brother called John. And he said one thing in his life and his walk. He had learned that God needs to abide in his heart. And he couldn't afford to be in the driving seat. nor could he afford to be in the passenger seat. Nor could he afford to put God in the passenger seat or the back seat or the boot. But he had to learn to put God in the driving seat and he himself in the boot, and to let God lead him. Now, there's a limit to how you can extrapolate that. But God needs to abide in us. Christ needs to abide, not just live in us, but to abide. Peter goes on to say, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, and the flower will fade, the color will go. But the word of the Lord remains forever." The word of the Lord remains forever. And that word, the word is the good news. It is the gospel that has been preached to you. The prayer of the pastors, the pastoral team is this, that we know this, that we know this, and that we would learn to walk in simple trust with God and to use good words. For as we said, Proverbs teaches us to learn God's way, but more than that, to live God's way. We have to love, learn, and to live. And the completion of that was through the books of wisdom that Solomon wrote, was to love God's way and to keep God's way. But that's our prayer, that you learn and you live. And may you keep God's way as we draw this to an end, because it is so important to use our words wisely. Always. Let us pray as we get the worship team up too. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you are an amazingly wonderful, faithful, trustworthy, incredibly magnificent, worthy God.